This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show on this Monday morning, the 10th day of March. Hopefully you set your clocks properly and you realize that it's 7:08 in the morning and you're not all screwed up. We did not set our clocks back Saturday night. As much as I love daylight saving time, I forgot to do it. Fortunately, I didn't have anything going on early Sunday, so it didn't mess anything up.
Well, but your phone in many cars nowadays will just automatically do it.
Well, like, I agree with that, but I didn't realize it till I woke up and saw my phone. I forgot to set my alarm clock back, which doesn't do itself automatically.
Oh, you use an old school alarm clock?
Two of them. I use a double alarm clock to make sure I never oversleep, because I did that a couple of times in my career, and I've decided I'm never going to do that again.
So wait a minute. Were you late on your way to Mizzou?
That was Saturday morning.
Sorry. Remember those alarm clocks people would get that were really popular? It would the alarm would go off and it would basically go around the room and you'd have to get up out of bed.
Clocky.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, I had one for the longest time until it finally broke. So at Channel 4, when they were promoting some McDonald's breakfast deal years ago, back when it used to truly be cheap, they delivered a basket to the newsroom and it had three of these clockies in it. And I ended up with one of them and took it home. We used it for years, but those things were great.
It had wheels and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, was it going pretty quickly? Did you actually have to make quite an effort to chase it?
The thing is it would go off once like a regular alarm clock. And if you hit snooze, if you ignored it, then it would eventually start rolling and it would roll off your shelf and down on the floor and then you had to get up and find it. But if you hit snooze, it would then snooze for a little while, and when it came back on it would be louder and then it would take off and then you had to go find it, which is the point of helping people who don't wake up easily. I wake up and I'm out of bed like that, so
I'm pretty good about I was the best of my parents would tell you this. I was the best of my two sisters at getting up. I remember I think one time, I don't know if we dumped water on my sister's head. They were not great at getting up for school.
Yeah. The anxiety dreams that we have in the broadcasting business, it's the same one you have that you're at the end of your school semester and there's one class you forgot to attend the whole time and you've got to go take the final. I mean, you always have this fear of being unprepared, or mm-hmm. you're going to wake up late mm-hmm. to get to the job if you work the morning shows. That's what I've suffered with for years.
And then I have had that too. And then it starts with, well, if I fall asleep now, I'll get 5 hours of sleep.
I've only overslept two times that I can think of. Carl Middleman will probably remember one of them.
Driving to work.
Actually filling in on this morning show before I was doing this morning show, and this guy made me call in on my phone and start doing the show as I was driving down the highway.
I wasn't going to do a break.
Good for you, Carl.
He did.
I'm like,
he did. I remember that.
Just say something for a minute.
Yeah.
It'll count as content.
Just keep talking.
And we can go to commercials.
Mm-hmm. That's well done.
How far are you away?
Coming up, we're going to get to a real or fake news quiz for you this hour. At the bottom of the hour, you know, this weekend was the big state GOP convention here in St. Louis. All of the big wigs, the big elected officials, the senators, everybody was here. The governor had a big meeting. I believe it was out in Westport. And we're going to talk to the lieutenant governor about what happened there this weekend. Among the other big news that came out of that is the fact that Dennis Hancock, the county councilman, is not going to run for re-election to council, but he's going to instead challenge for county executive. Which is a big deal because he's it's been a while since we've had somebody higher profile running against Page for that seat, and it ended up the story got broke on NPR of all things, instead of on a conservative radio station by one of the local news stations, who just happened to stumble across him on. NPR was there for the spectacle that is a Republican gathering and happened to stumble on a news story.
Mm. Is that conservative show you're talking about, the Mark Cox Morning Show?
That might be. We're a little disappointed, but that's okay. Dennis is out of town right now and is going to join us on a Thursday morning when he gets back. So we will talk to him about that this week. I did reach out right after the news broke. All right, coming up, we're going to get to all that stuff for you, but first I want to get to our top stories, Carl.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
And we've just had the announcement that Mark Carney is now the new Prime Minister of Canada and the leader, of course, of the Liberal Party.
Yeah, the out of the fat and into the fire. We got rid of Justin Trudeau. And we've got some cocky new guy, some former hockey player in Canada. It says, we're going to beat you on hockey and we're going to beat America. And good luck with that, Junior.
There's something wrong with them. And I said, it's unbelievable. They don't get it. They don't get it now. And I think they're going to end up being a minor party if they keep going like this.
Yep. President Trump yesterday talking to Maria Bartiromo. And I thought he did a great job on there. The headline from the national media this morning is Donald Trump says we might have a recession, which is not what he said. But that's how the national media is playing it this morning.
I feel genuinely really, I don't even feel defensive about it or angry about it. I feel like really bummed.
Yeah. AOC, she's bummed because Republicans, by trying to keep men out of women's sports, are apparently dooming a lot of little boys to a lot of unhappiness. Imagine the twisted logic of the left.
Well, Elon Musk does not have the power to fire people. The president of the United States is Donald Trump, and the agency heads are the one who manage each of their departments. So they've got the decision.
Yeah. Manufactured crisis. The left doesn't know what else to do, so they're just trying to spread lies like Donald Trump is getting tired of Elon Musk. The cabinet-level people are pushing back on Elon Musk having too much power. When actually nothing could be further from the truth, a number of them have encouraged him to take a closer look at their operation, because any CEO would. If you could get outside help from somebody who's a certified genius and has run many multiple successful companies and get just advice from them, I mean, obviously you're the one that makes the decision. Trump is the decider, as George W. Bush once said. Famously.
Musk is just making recommendations. He really doesn't have any power other than to say, I think you should cut this or cut that.
Yeah, and Rick Scott was trying to address that this weekend. Go ahead and play all of that last bite there for us, Carl, please. Cut it.
Well, Elon Musk does not have the power to fire people. The president of the United States is Donald Trump, and the agency heads are the one who manage each of their departments. So they've got the decision. That's what Elon Musk has told me time and time again. And the president of the United States was elected, all right, by the American people to basically rein in government, rein in this waste, bring some accountability, some transparency, some common sense to government. And that's exactly what Donald Trump is doing.
Yeah, he is indeed. In fact, I'm going to play that bite for you coming up of that led to apparently the confusion over a recession. So, as usual with the media, I watched CBS this morning. I listened to national headlines coming in. Donald Trump using the R word or the R word brought up to Donald Trump and he doesn't rule it out and blah, 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 blah. The R word being recession. Maria Bartiromo asked him, are you worried about a recession? He goes, no, I don't think about those things. And I don't want to speculate. That was his answer. And somehow this morning he's not ruling out a recession is the twisted way the national media is covering that story because they have nothing else to win on right now. That's kind of the situation they find themselves in. Coming up, we will talk more about Dennis Hancock jumping into this county executive race. We're also going to get to Real or Fake News. We'll talk to the Missouri Lieutenant Governor at the bottom of the hour.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are fighting the fake news.
Real or fake?
Fake. Phony. Fake.
News quiz.
It is time for the Real or Fake News quiz, done at this time every Monday. My name's Carl, and I get to ask the people in this room if the headlines I'm reading to them are real or fake. The last 2 weeks, Ethan Bright has won.
And 4-3, Pete.
And he did a great job with the music Friday, even though it wasn't quite, you know, country music's not my favorite, but it could have been worse.
Sue Thomas loved it. She gave Ethan mucho proper.
I know.
So, Ethan, go for the three-peat. Now, we're not going to be doing this next week because there will be people that are not here. So, get ready. Kim is here. Ethan is there. I'm getting ready to write everything down.
All right.
All right, Ethan, since you won last week.
Let's go.
You get to go first. Let's begin with what we've been talking about all morning. Daylight saving time. Real or fake, daylight saving time starts at 2 o'clock because farmers didn't want to disrupt their church goings. Real or fake?
I'm going to say fake.
Mark Cox.
I agree, fake.
I'll say fake.
It's fake. You know why? Do we know why it starts at 2 o'clock in the morning? Any guesses, anyone?
So that people leave the bars earlier who have been there too long?
No. It's because those were when this started in 1917, those were the times with the least amount of train traffic, railroad traffic. And they didn't want to screw all that because they go across the country. Mark Cox, sticking with daylight saving time. Real or fake, daylight saving time started as a joke that Benjamin Franklin wrote in an essay to France. Real or fake?
I'm going to go with real, Carl.
Kim St. Ange.
I think that's real, too.
Ethan?
I was going to go real, so I'll stick with it.
It's real. He wrote it down as a joke. You guys have heard all these.
No, I've not. Yeah. That just sounds like
something that Benjamin Franklin would do.
Sounds like something you'd have a hard time making up.
I know, right?
A lot of stuff that starts as a joke and then somehow it catches on and it's
all right.
And finally, for the daylight saving time, Kim St. Ange, real or fake, China was the first country to start daylight saving time. Real or fake?
I will say fake.
Ethan Bright.
I'm going to go real.
Mark Cox.
I'm going to go real.
It's fake.
Ah!
It's Germany.
The Germans are so precise.
Yes.
I don't think they have more than one time zone, do they, in Germany? What the hell?
No, that's actually Russia only has one time zone. Did you know that? I should have saved that one! Damn it.
I wouldn't have known that.
I wouldn't either.
Russia only has one time zone. Ethan Bright, real or fake? Due to a clerical error at a Nebraska hospital, Caroline Kilburn's real name is Unakite 13 Hotel. Real or fake?
Sure, let's go real.
Mark Cox.
I'll go real.
Kim Sainz.
I'll say real. I don't feel like you'd make that up.
Yeah. Unakite 13 Hotel. They just put that in as a placeholder. And then there was a custody issue. And so that's the kid's real name. Dad's trying to get it changed. But there's some issues with the mom, and she won't sign it over.
She likes that name. It flows.
When did this happen?
Recently.
Oh.
The kid is older now, but mom had some drug problems.
Oh,
and
okay.
So Dad has custody. Dad didn't even know that this kid was his until it was born.
Oh, my.
The child
was born.
This is
like an episode of Mari.
Yeah. No kidding.
Mark Cox, this is you. Real or fake? 4% of YouTube videos have never been seen a single time. Real or fake?
I think it's higher than that. I'll go with fake.
Kim St. Ange.
Well, the person who posted it has at least watched it, so it would have at least one view, so I'll say fake.
Ethan Bright.
I'm going to go real.
It's real. You have all these people putting up videos, they never watch them.
Huh.
In fact, the majority of YouTube videos get less than 500 views. The majority of them. Kim St. Ange, real or fake? Portuguese soccer star Cristian Ronaldo has zero tattoos.
Mm.
Real or fake?
I feel like he would have them, but I'll say real.
Ethan Bright.
I'm going to go real.
Mark Cox.
I'll go fake just to be the opposite of those two.
It's real. He loves to donate blood, and since he travels all over the world, some countries don't let you...
I was trying to picture him.
Do.
I was too.
He has zero tattoos. He loves donating blood, and that's why. Yay for Cristiano Ronaldo. Ethan Bright.
Getting my butt kicked.
Real or fake? The first 911 emergency line started in Haleyville, Alabama. Real or fake?
Sure, fake. Or real. Real.
I'm like, sure? Which one are you going with?
Real.
Mark Cox.
I'll go with real on that.
I'll say real.
It is real. Damn it. You guys are good.
I'm down two. What are you talking about?
I mean, these two are tied.
Oh, I know.
Real or fake, Kim St. Ange? The tofu industry is trying to get in on competitive eating. One state rep in New Jersey standing in its way. Real or fake?
I'll say real.
Ethan Bright.
Just so you can end it, Carl, I'll say fake.
Mark Cox.
I'll say real.
And for the third week in a row, Ethan Bright. That story's fake. I made it up.
Okay. Now, congratulations. Is it going to be heavy death metal this time on Friday?
I don't know.
All right. We'll try to influence him between now and then. Don't worry. Coming up, our friend Lieutenant Governor Dave Wasinger is going to join us, talk more about some of his priorities down in Jeff City and what happened this weekend at the state Republican Party Lincoln Day dinner they had here in St. Louis. We're going to be back in just a minute. So pay attention to the cowbell in this video. That is our Lieutenant Governor, Dave Wasinger, this weekend at the Lincoln Day dinner. Sorry to pop that on you there, Lieutenant Governor. How are you?
Hey, Mark. I'm doing great. Yeah, we had Lincoln Days this past weekend, and the band asked me to come up and play a cowbell. I don't think that song is going to be number one on Spotify this week, but I'll tell you what, we had a good time doing it. Denny Hoskins, our Secretary of State, came up and played the tambourine. So if your listeners are bored, they can get on social media and see a really, really bad song. And my wife Denny Hoskins' wife announced that I don't have much rhythm. Let's leave it at that. So, but we had a good time, and It's a beautiful day in St. Louis. It's a beautiful day in Missouri. It looks like spring has finally arrived, and we deserve it. So we've had a long winter. So yeah. We had a good time at Lincoln Days this past weekend.
It sounds like you did, and your friend, Secretary of State Hoskins, has already shared that on social media. So the whole world is going to get to see it this morning. Just so you know.
As I said, I don't think that's going to reach number one on Spotify, but we had a really good time doing it. It was funny.
Oh, man. So what was a lot of the focus at Lincoln Days this weekend? Because I know everybody gets up and speaks and talks about things like cutting government, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Trump and more Trump. You know, Trump has a tendency to suck the oxygen out of the room. People are just very, very energized and pleased with what President Trump and Elon Musk are doing in Washington, D.C., and they want us to bring those same energy and those same ideas to Jefferson City. And as Missouri's lieutenant governor, I'm trying to get that done. We've got a good pipeline or relationship with the White House right now. We're talking to them weekly to try to bring some of those great ideas to Jefferson City, and I think we're having a little bit of luck.
Yeah, what are you most excited about? I mean, you talked about going in there and trying to shake things up a little bit in what has traditionally been the role of the lieutenant governor. Are you getting the cooperation that you'd like from the Senate, for example?
Yeah, you may have seen that over the last year. I think it was totally dysfunctional. The Senate, I as lieutenant governor, I serve as president of the Senate, so I oversee the 34 state senators, and we'll be gaveling them in yet this afternoon and bringing them in. The crime bill or public safety issue, that was a big issue that Governor Kehoe and I both ran on, I think is going to get teed up today or this week. You may have heard a lot of liberal tears about midnight Wednesday last night because a lot of Republican senators were staying up till well after midnight last Wednesday to get that bill passed and overcome a Democrat filibuster. And the Democrats screeching means you're probably doing a good job and you're getting good conservative ideas across the finish line. So, yeah, so far, so good. We'll see how the next 2 months play out, but I think the senators are getting along well, and we're trying to push this good conservative legislation across the finish line.
You were talking about how people there at the Lincoln Days dinner were pleased with what Elon Musk has done and some of the cuts to this ridiculous spending on the federal level. There is a portal, right, where people in Missouri can go and make suggestions on where they think there's been reckless spending on the state level. Where are areas feel like could be cut, or what kind of suggestions do you know, if any, are we getting, or are you guys getting, I should say?
You know, I walked in here as a conservative outsider to shake things up in Jefferson City. So this is honest to God the truth. You will go in and talk to these bureaucrats, and you will ask them a question, why do we do this? And the most common answer is, we've always done it that way.
Yeah.
Well, why have you always done it that way? I don't know. We've just always done it that way. So we have pins in our office with, we have always done it that way, crossed out. Literally, we have pen on our lapel. We hate that answer because these bureaucrats are not used to somebody with fresh ideas that's coming in to shake things up. So when they're asked that question, why do you do things this way? And their answer is, I don't know. We've just always done it that way. That's part of the change that we're bringing to Jefferson City. We've also, as with President Trump, are asking these bureaucrats to come in and work 5 days a week. Many of them have been only working 2 to 3 days a week in the office, and we have issued an order out of our office. President Trump has issued an order mandating that these bureaucrats come and work 5 days a week, as most people do in the private sector. So it's little changes are not so little, according to them. You know, you get a lot of pushback on it, but you just need to bring that change that Elon Musk and Donald Trump, you need to bring that to Jefferson City, and that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, Lieutenant Governor David Wasinger on the phone with us this morning. You and I talked a lot before you got sworn in about the fact that many people look at the Lieutenant Governor role as it largely ceremonial, but it's not. And you talked about discovering the fact that you would have the power in some cases to take the gavel and to maybe force the Senate into some action. Did you foresee a situation where that might happen on tax cuts or IP reform or anything like that?
Yeah, it very well. There are not the lieutenant governor's office. The duties vary from state to state. In Missouri, you serve as the presiding officer of the state Senate. So while I want to go up and take the gavel and gavel that Senate in or dictate who's being called on or who's being called on, The Missouri Constitution allows me to do that.
Right.
So we can go in and gavel that in. So, yeah, that gavel carries a lot of weight. And frankly, Mark, the office itself is a bully pulpit. So to the extent we want legislation passed, we've got to seem to have a good relationship with many of the state senators. To the extent we go into the office and would like to see some legislation pushed, they have seemed inclined to put that at the top of the heap. So it really is can serve as a valuable tool and resource to get some legislation across the finish line.
Hopefully you can. You told me one of your focuses is going to be on senior care, right, for veterans as well?
Yeah, and veterans. Let's talk about veterans first. We have 7 veterans homes. As Lieutenant Governor, I'm the advocate for veterans. We need to put these veterans on the pedestal and take care of them in the manner they're deserve. We went on this past Wednesday. We went down to St. James, Missouri, and I toured the veterans home, and I wanted to meet with those veterans in person to hear them, look them in the eye, and make sure they were getting the care they required, or they required and they deserve. So I intend on going to the other 6 veterans' homes, not listening to a bureaucrat as to whether or not they are being taken care of. I want to look those veterans in the eye and ask them, are you being taken care of in this facility? We got a real good response. I met a gentleman who served at the Battle of the Bulge. He was 103 years old.
Wow.
Living in St. James, Missouri. So it was a really heartwarming and neat experience. So, yeah, we intend on fighting for our seniors, particularly the veterans, but not just the veterans. We're going to be setting up an office for advocacy and assistance for senior citizens. So if your listeners have a relative that is not being taken care of in one of these elderly facilities, we would like to be a conduit or serve to make sure their complaints or concerns are being taken care of. We're hearing that is an epidemic in a lot of these senior living facilities where a lot of loved ones are not being taken care of.
Yeah. Mr. Lieutenant Governor, you know, I had Governor Kehoe on last week, and I asked him this same question. Of course, over the weekend, Dennis Hancock announced he's going to run against Sam Page here in St. Louis County. That's a big deal. But I asked the governor, you know, I'm hearing rumblings of another city-county merger effort. I don't know if you've heard that or not, or what your position was on that originally. I don't know if you and I ever talked about it, but, I mean, I've heard they're going to try to bring this thing back. Have you heard that?
I have not heard a lot about that, Mark. You know, that bubbled up a few years ago where they had the Better Together and it just kind of wheels fell off the wagon. It really didn't go anywhere.
Right.
I have not heard much in Jefferson City. I will be meeting with Governor Kehoe this afternoon. We're about 60 days into this, and we're going to compare notes and see how we're doing. So I'll bring that up and ask him if he's heard anything about that and see if anything bubbling to the surface we need to know about.
Right, because the key there would be that city and county residents would get to vote on it. And the issue last time is that they were trying to do an end run and take it to a statewide vote, which obviously a lot of people here were concerned about.
Yeah, the I recall there were millions of dollars put into that effort to combine the city-county merger.
Yes.
Wheels fell off the wagon. I just have not heard a lot about that. But when I meet with Governor Kehoe this afternoon, I'll make a point to ask him about it, see if he's heard anything about it.
All right. Mr. Lieutenant Governor David Wassergren, listen, we appreciate your time, and you have to work on those cowbell skills for next year.
We'll do it. All right. Always a pleasure, Mark. All right. Enjoy the pretty day.
We shall, sir. Thank you. Take care of yourself.
All right. Okay.
Appreciate that. Good to get him on here this morning and see what's going on down there in Jeff City. Coming up, Kim, what are we talking about in Kim on a Whim today?
Did you hear what happened to J.D. Vance over the weekend? He says these pro-Ukraine protesters were following him around with his 3-year-old daughter screaming at him, freaking out his daughter, understandably. The question is, how far is too far? You have every right to protest, but where's the line on that?
Good question. We'll get to it coming up.
Kim on a Whim.
J.D. Vance said some strong words that he posted on X after he was walking around in some residential area in Cincinnati over the weekend with his 3-year-old daughter, pushing her in a stroller. And all of a sudden, all these pro-Ukrainian protesters start following them and screaming at them. And understandably, his 3-year-old daughter is scared. Who wouldn't be? And so he's trying to have a conversation with them because, you know, as a protester, you have every right to go out and do that. Okay. But where is the line? Should you be going around and chasing someone who's pushing their 3-year-old daughter in the stroller?
No.
No. And that was his point. And you have part of the conversation that J.D. Vance was trying to have with these protesters.
You can hear them. He turned around to face them, and you can hear them trying to yell over top of him. Listen.
No one is articulated. You're selling him out. Selling him out. Selling him out. Selling him out. Absolutely. With respect, I disagree. I think that what we're doing is we're actually forcing a diplomatic settlement. That if you talk to Joe Biden,
nobody in Ukraine benefits.
Do you think Russia can be diplomatic?
Anyway, you can hear them yelling all these questions at him. He's got his 3-year-old daughter in a stroller, and obviously he's got Secret Service protection. They're there with him, so he wasn't under any threat. But he's just trying to take his kid out for a walk on a nice day, and he gets harassed by these people. Mm-hmm. This is the Democratic strategy. Did you see Republicans out following around? Kamala Harris or other people screaming at them when they were walking with their kids? No.
No. I mean, I get that it can come with the territory being vice president of the United States. But again, I think when you're pushing your 3-year-old, there's just a line that I don't think you cross. And I feel like they crossed it. It is interesting when Vance posted on X about this, when he said he decided to speak with the protesters in hopes that I could, he says, trade a few minutes of conversation for them leaving my toddler alone. He says nearly all of them agreed. It was a mostly respectful conversation. You just heard part of it.
Yes.
And I can't say this word on the radio, but he basically called the people who do chase around 3-year-olds as part of a political protest an S word.
You're a crap person.
You can decide what that is.
If you do that, if you choose to do that.
And I would agree. Like, come on, that's just low. There are those people who it seems like they always find some way to have protection where it's like, you know, they would use their child to they always would be doing something where it's not appropriate to come up to them. But again, like, I think J.D. Vance has been very open to having conversations with people and going back and forth. So I don't think he was just trying to go on a walk with his 3-year-old in a neighborhood in Cincinnati.
It's unfortunate. But you've got the left has learned this tactic from people like, you know, Maxine Waters, telling them get up in their face. If you see them in a restaurant, you get up and scream at them, blah, blah, blah. It was uncalled for. They could have held their little protest on the street across the street from where he was walking with the baby so he could see them and acknowledge their presence and have to follow him around yelling at him while he's trying to walk his child.
Mm-hmm.
The media did cover it, it appears now, because it ended up on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there'll be a little bit of blowback on them.
I remember when the college campuses were going on, there would be people who were pro-Israel who would go to some of these events. No, really, actually, I don't even think it was the pro-Israel people. I think it was the pro-Palestinian people who would often be the ones protesting events that Kamala Harris was speaking at.
Yes.
But it was at an event. It wasn't like, well, she doesn't have, I guess she has stepchildren, right? But, and they're not young. But it wasn't like she was walking around with her toddler and they were following her around and screaming at her. Very different.
It's just a lack of decorum and a lack of respect. And I mean, I know that there were events where Biden was showing up to speak during the campaign and there would be Trump people there protesting and yelling stuff as he drove by.
That's still different. Very different.
It was a political event. This was not a political event. I hate that that they had to go through that. But, you know, unfortunately, I guess that's part of the territory we're in these days, because the left doesn't know where to aim their fire. They don't know where to go next. The world is passing them by very quickly as we try to make America great again, for sure. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit more about the complete disaster that this race has become for St. Louis Mayor Tishara Jones. We're going to get to that after the top of the hour. Our friend Jesse Jane Duff and Tom Ackerman live from sunny Florida. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.